Our next topic is major character sketches. The novel is successful in characterization. One reason of the great success with the general reading public of Golding's Lord of the Flies is that this work successfully tears a middle course with neither plot development nor characterization being overemphasized. Instead, they are carefully interwoven into an artistic whole. The author manages to do this by concentrating his character analyses on four or five principal persons, resisting the temptation to overcrowd his canvas with numerous minor figures. Thus, for an example, the Dittlans are never clearly delineated, and in only one small segment of the story is any attempt made to individualize them for the purpose of illustrating certain facets of the life on the island. Now, our first and the foremost or the dominant character of this story, this novel, the Lord of Flies, is the leader, the chief, Rolf. So let us talk about Rolf's character, his individual appearance, his individual mental ability, and something more about Rolf. So start Rolf. Rolf is a principal character. He is the leader of the company of the boys until his replacement. He is the hero of the Lord of the Flies. It is on him that the author concentrates most. It is through Rolf's thoughts and emotions that Golding drives home to his readers something of the atmosphere and mounting crisis. Some of the other castaways are more colorful and interesting as individuals, but it is Rolf who is the most normal and most intelligent. Paragraph changed. Rolf is just over 12. He is not yet old enough for adolescence to have made him awkward. He has hair and a good implicit faith in his father, who is a naval command like Golding himself. His mother is presumably dead. His past life was comfortable, semi-rural, one of cottages in the country and feeding wild ponies over garden walls. He is resourceful, intelligent and courageous. That is why he is chosen leader by the group of the boys standard on the island. He realizes his responsibility as a leader and goes on exploration of the island. He organizes the construction of shelter, supply of fresh water and other things, but all his efforts to put things straight fails. He becomes all the more furious when a chance of rescue is lost because of the neglect of the duty by the hunters under Jack. He takes them to task for it, and Jack resents the blame. He had been earlier wounded by the choice of Rolf as leader, so very soon he causes a split in the group. Rolf is courageous. His courage is exhibited on several occasions. He goes over the Castle Rock all by himself in search of the beast. When challenged by Jack, he accompanies him to the mountain top in the dark night, but his courage was not rash at that of Jack. In the open conflict with Jack, he faces him all alone. He calls Jack a thief and repeats the charge when challenged. Even though the whole tribe gets ready to charge, he does run back until the last. When he is hunted down, he shows his courage till the end. Thus, he is rewarded for his courage by his final rescue. Rolf is liked by other boys. He is able to attract them. Even though Jack had a strong group behind him, he is chosen by leader, unanimous acclaim. Piggy looks upon him as a hero. Simon, though he belonged to a choir, is drawn to Rolf and stands by him. The twins Sam and Eric are loyal to him till the end. Until Jack lures the boys away by the promise of meat, they stick to Rolf as a leader. So the most interesting aspect of Rolf's characterization is bound up with his efforts as a leader. He is elected because most of the boys recognize the superiority of the personal qualities compared to Jack. He soon experiences disillusion with his role. People were never quite out what you thought they were. which gives away to Histria when the fire goes out and the potential rescue ship passes the island. Thereafter, he reasserts his leadership, but deep mental concentration in foreign to him, and it takes much effort to him to plan his speech to the assembled boys. But the novelist had not idealized Ralph. Ralph betrays Piggy's name to other to raise the cheap laugh at his new friend's expense, who is anxious to have his hunting prowess recognized and is rather contemptuous to his attitude towards the Littlens. After these defects of character and are very natural and are far overweighted by the better side of his nature, his subsequent kindness to Piggy, his recognition of their filthy physical condition, his realization of his own lack of maturity. Now, the second most important character, or the second dominant character, is of Jack. Jack is the second dominant character, and in the later part of the story, Jack is the leader of the uncivilized, or you can also say that, or we can also say that, the so-called uncivilized boys at that time on that island. So let us know about Jack. Jack is an important figure in Lord of the Flies. He can be compared and equated with a villain. He, as a leader of the choir, stakes his claim to the leadership of the group. He loses in vote, but Ralph appoints him leader of hunters. But his wounded pride makes him disrupt the ordered life of the boys under Ralph. He exploits the fear among the boys to his own advantage. He promises them meat, security, and the fun of hunting, and guaranteeing these, he lures away most of them from Ralph. He turns them into savages, painting themselves with colored clay. They soon came to be little respect for human life. At this instigation, Simon and Piggy are killed by them. We are awed to see the degradation into which these boys have fallen, all because of Jack. Among the choir boys, he is tall, thin, and bony. His hair is half red beneath the black cap. His face is crumpled and freckled and ugly without silliness. Out of this face stare two light blue eyes ready to turn to anger. He is intelligent. After his first inhibition about bloodshed, he becomes a good hunter and kills pig after pig. Jack becomes a skilled but obsessive hunter and pig from his sole topic of conversation. The earlier bond of friendship between himself and Ralph is broken by the differences over the relative importance of smoke and hunting, and Jack gives expression to his feelings of frustration by a cowardly attack on Piggy. Jack ultimately turns hunting into a happy excursion and for his purpose composes a chant. Kill the pig, cut her throat, spill her blood. The boys are thrilled by his experience and they stick to Jack. He defends his hunters and does not like that anything should be said against him. He blames Ralph for insulting the hunters and hits Piggy for the same reason. He is able to organize the hunters into a well-disciplined group, ready to carry out his orders. When he becomes the leader of a rival group, they are proud of him and they admire his leadership. He is proper chief, isn't he? He has turned them to savages, but they admire him. This is what every autocrat achieves. It is Piggy who gives a correct estimate of Lack's character when he remarks, if Jack was chief, he had have all hunting and no fire. If you are scared of someone, you hate him, but you can't stop thinking about him. Your kid yourself, he is all right, really. The adoption of the painted marks by him serves to realize him all feelings of restriction. He constantly tries to be in limelight, leading the search of the rumored beast in theatrical caution and becoming antagonistic as soon as leadership is threatened. He expresses his antagonism by means of sarcastic remarks, though there are elements of cowardice and his behavior as soon when the parachutist body is discovered. After challenging Ralph's authority, he suffers humiliation because none of other boys apparently side with him. The Jack is transformed by the mass desertion from Ralph. Jack's earlier love of rules is translated into simple assertion, "I am going to be a chief." He is pictured, painted, and garlanded like an idol on his throne while his subjects pay homage to his hunting prowess. Jack's cunningness is revealed in his weakening the position of Ralph by stealing away the spectacles of Piggy. He turns the Castle Rock into a fortress. He makes his followers believe that Ralph is a dangerous enemy to be hunted down. Thus, the very same voice who had earlier elected Ralph leader hunt him down. Jack is an unmitigated bully, tyrant, and aggressor who asserts his authority through ritual, tribal dances, fear, and bloodlust. At the end of, he is reduced to his size. He is afraid of adult authority. A little boy who wore the remains of extraordinary black cap on his red hair. Jack takes pleasure in torturing others. He bullies Piggy, kills Simon, tortures the twins, beast up Wilfred, and ruthlessly hunts down Ralph like a pig. He is a symbol of human savagery. If man leaves the bound of human civilization, he will really relapse into primitive barbarism. Jack represents his generalization. It is through the character of Jack Meridew then that Golding builds up the whole structure of the society Goon Savage before our eyes. The author prepares us for this transformation at an early stage where in a forest setting we are shown Jack dog-like searching for pigs with bright blue eyes and that seemed bolting and nearly mad. Now the third character of this chapter is Piggy. So let us know something about Piggy and its individual character. Piggy is the most interesting of all the boys. He is short statured. He is very fat. He is lower middle class in origin, apparently an orphan. He had lived with an aunt. He suffers from asthma. He is short-sighted too and can hardly see without his spectacles when the boys use these as a burning glass to start the fire. After the castaways have settled down to some form of routine, we are given the following descriptions of Piggy. Piggy wore the remainders of a pair of shorts. His fat body was golden brown and the grasses still flashed when he looked at anything. He was only boy on the island whose hair never seemed to grow. The rest were shock-headed, but Piggy's hair still lay in wisps over his head as though baldness were his natural slate, and this imperfect covering would soon go like the velvet on the young stag's antlers. He is physically lazy and mentally sensitive and touchy. He never helps to collect firewood. He is also something of a bore. He babbles on about the conch, and Ralph always derives pleasure from pulling his leg, since like a boss, Piggy is a continual buff of laughter and has absolutely no sense of humor. He becomes the butt of everyone's ridicule. His very name, Piggy, is one that evokes laughter among the boys assembled. Piggy stands for the observance of rules and regulations. He believes in an organized society. Hence, he has respect of authority. He looks upon the conch as a symbol of authority. He holds on to it till his death. When Jack and party come to raid their camp for fire, Piggy thinks that they had come for the conch. He is relieved when he finds it safe on the platform. He refuses to accept the authority of Jack because the conch is smashed to a thousand pieces by the every same boulder that kills Piggy. The death of Piggy is a great tragedy We will never be able to erase from our mind his tragic death. An innocent and well-meaning boy, Piggy was admired by Ralph, but was hated by Jack. Jack matured at the feeling that Ralph was always protecting him. When they went to search for the beast, Piggy was left behind to look after the littlums. This, according to Jack, was discrimination in the favor of Piggy. Piggy is mature than other boys except Ralph. He possesses practical wisdom. How you can expect to be rescued? He angrily asked the others, if you don't put first things first, act proper. Even Ralph admits the piggies has brains, though he has no qualities of leadership and can think in a logical manner. And it is Piggy who tries to adopt a worldly wise scientific attitude towards the beast rumors, who put in a plea of realistic sanity when there is a general fear of ghosts. What are we, humans or animals or savages? What grown-ups going to think? And who shows intellectual daring with his practical suggestions about moving the fire from the mountain? The leader of the boys, Ralph, gradually recognizes Piggy's words. He confides in him. When Simon is murdered, Piggy tries to rationalize their own behavior during the ghastly incident, and Ralph believes that they had no personal responsibility. At the end, Piggy, his glass having been stolen in a pathetic figure, he makes a powerful plea for justice. He does not ask for them back because Jack is strong and he is weak, but because what's right, right's right. His death comes suddenly, unexpectedly, and horribly, and at first Ralph is unable to appreciate the significance of what has happened. Then he realizes that there is no longer a Piggy to talk sense, and finally he weeps for the loss of his true wise friend. Tab koi dikkat nahi, dekho. Simon, our fourth character. Simon is a very little boy, skinny and weak. He belongs to Jack Joyce. Appearance wise, he looks like a skeleton. His hair are black and coarse. He often gets faint, which again is a sign of his physical weakness. He is skinny boy. His chin is pointed and his eyes are very bright. They make Ralph think of him as a gay boy. His forehead is low and broad. His color is dark. His body is sunburnt. It shines with his sweat. His hair is straight. They look like a hut. In short, his physical features are such that he looks funny. Simon is helpful, generous, and unafraid. He is only one left out of the Ralph shelter building assistants when the pig hunting fever grips the boys. When Piggy is deliberately left out of the distribution of the first pig meat by Jack, Simon has no hesitation in handing over his own portion to the fat boy. And when the first expedition to the Castle Rock is delayed on the return journey, it is Simon who readily volunteers to cut through the dense forest in order to get back to the Littlens before dark. He is himself an introvert, a reserve by nature. He speaks a little but thinks much more. He gets attracted by certain typical bushes. The bushes appeared like candles. He goes secretly to that location when he tries to express his view on the beast at an assembly. He becomes inarticulate and tongue-tied. His heart beats choke him, and the boy jeers force him into silence. Yet of all the castaways, he is only one who retains a sense of perspective in thinking about the beast, but is unable to convey his feeling to the others, and so fails to exert a claiming effect when that is most needed. Thereafter, Simon's role in the story becomes almost a mystical one. With an air of prophecy, he confides in Ralph that, "I think you will get back all right." He is an unobserved witness to the seeking spectacle of hunting of the snow and placing the pig's head on the stake. He watches through. half-shut eyes which are dim with the infinite cynicism of the adult life. Then follows Simon's conversation with the Lord of Flies, the grinning pig's head exerting a kind of hypnotic influence over him until it combined with a heavy atmosphere of the approaching thunderstorm brings on another of his fainting spells. When Simon recovers, his duty is clear. He must determine the nature of the thing on the summit and restore normalcy on the island. His face empty of expression and his movements lacking energy, he makes his way through heavy wind to the mountain top and discovers the wasted body of the dead parachutist. Physically and mentally exhausted, he staggers down to the beach to fall his knees. As his dark, bent figure emerges from the forest in the midst of the rainstorm and the boys frigging, dancing and chanting, he is taken for the beast itself and butchered horribly. The final picture we have of Simon is a peaceful screen of his broken body is carried out gently to the sea and by spring tide, attended by strange phosphorescent marine creatures with fiery eyes and trailing vapors. As the water lifted him, the line of his cheek silvered and the turn of his shoulder became sculptured marble. To mature and adult in his ways, to be appreciated by one another boys, Simon is a sad, isolated, doomed figure. The down of to earth piggy sums up the attitude of the others when he refers to Simon and as a cracked. Fifth and last important character of this story, the Lord of Flies, is Samnerik. Samnerik, the word used in this story is for Sam and Erik. And the writer makes these two names as a word and repeats it regularly in this novel story, Samnerik. So Sam and Erik are the twins, which is combinedly written Samnerik. Sam and Erik are two boys in the chair of Jack. They are twins. Combined, they are called Samnerik. They look very much alike. They also do everything together. They breathe together and laugh together. Their heads and are round and hence look like bullets. They are strongly built. Their lips are not having enough skin. Though inseparable, they cannot act independently. When they are put on dirty duty at the fire point to replenish the fire with log, they are required to keep a watch turn by turn. But they fail to do so and both of them fall asleep. They also lack sense. When they see that the fire is out, then feel perturbed. They rekindle and the dying fire, which in turn assumes dangerous proportions. The fire spreads far and wide. It takes over the palm trees. On being burned, the trees explode and then make a big noise. The twins considered it to be noise of the beast. They run and tell Ralph all this shows that they lack maturity. In spite of their shortcomings, they are faithful and sincere. They have complete faith in their chief and his actions. They perform their duties with great sincerity in collecting woods. They show maximum enthusiasm. They are also physically tough. They go on working without feeling tired a lot. At one place, Golding uses the words unquenchable vitality for them. They are loyal to Ralph. When they are forced to join Jack's tribe, they do not feel happy with their new master Jack, but sense of duty and loyalty keeps them bound to Jack. When Ralph goes to meet them, they think of their new loyalty. They feel ashamed of it. They continue to be loyal to Ralph and ask him to go away for his own good. They tell him that Jack wants to kill Ralph. All this shows their loyalty and rightfulness to their master. The twins have an important role to play in the novel. They keep up humanity even after joining the tribe of Jack and they have a human heart. They prefer to be bitten, but they do not tell Jack about Ralph's hiding place in the thicket. They arouse a great sympathy in the reader's mind for themselves.